As I said earlier, I want us to begin the next few weeks talking together about God's game plan. The idea is that God does have a plan for us, and the hard lesson for us is that when we play the game His way, we wind up being a whole lot more successful than when we try to play it our way, and when we try to do things the way we think they ought to be done. You know, when the coach sends a play in, and then the players are in the huddle, they talk about the play and make sure everybody understands what's going to happen. And then it's time to go, and that one player decides, well, you know what, he told me to run in this way, but I just don't think that's a good idea. I think I better run over this way. And the play starts, and that runner runs the that player runs the wrong way. The ball is thrown where it was supposed to be, and he's not there. And we say, well, what's wrong? I ran fast. I ran hard. I did my best. You just didn't listen to the coach. It's amazing what happens when we learn to listen to the coach. And so that's the first thing that I want us to think together about as we begin this series, listening to the coach. Look with me, if you have your copy of Scripture with you this morning, look with me in Luke chapter 6. We want to begin at verse 46. It's a familiar passage. When you get there, you're going to think, well, man, it seems like I've seen this before, or heard this before. And when you get there, you're going to notice that it's very, very similar to the way that Jesus ends the Sermon on the Mount. Matter of fact, Luke records something very similar to the Sermon on the Mount. We call it the Sermon on the Plain. Luke records a lot of the same teachings as he talks about a time that Jesus taught from a level ground, a plain, instead of the mount. But in that discussion, here we find Jesus teaching. He says in Luke chapter 6 at 46, "And why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say?" Let that sink in for just a minute. Why do you call me Lord and do not do what I say? I'm going to ask three questions this morning, and the first question that I have to ask you is, do you serve Him or just give Him lip service? He says, why do you call me Lord? You say the right thing. Why do you call me by the right name, and yet you don't do what I say? What is Lord? Lord means master. Lord means boss. Lord means head coach. Why do you call me coach and you run your own plays? You're not treating me like a coach. You call me coach, but you don't listen to me like I'm coach. Why do you call me Lord if you don't really serve me? You call me Lord on Sunday morning when the chorus has Lord in the song, but the rest of the week, you don't really follow me. He says, why do you call me Lord when you don't do what I say? And so we have to ask ourselves this morning, do you serve Him, or just give Him lip service? There's an old jazz song kind of a blues song that I've always liked. I don't really know why I like it. I just do. And a singer is trying to get his girl to make a commitment, to say, you know, do you love me or not? Let's just cut to the chase. Do you love me or not? And so he asks the questions, is you is, or is you ain't, my baby? Is you is, or is you ain't, my baby? I love it. I'm going to steal from it this morning, because I think we have to ask ourselves, is He is, or is He ain't, the Lord? If He is, then He deserves a whole lot more than talking about Him on Sunday morning. If He ain't, then we don't need to talk about it on Sunday morning. So if you keep coming on Sunday morning, that means that you understand that He is. So then what does life look like Sunday afternoon through Saturday night? Is He is, or is He ain't the Lord? Who makes the decisions in your life? Who picks the direction for your life? You see, it's real easy to take the name Christian. A lot of us do that by default. We say, well, I'm not Muslim. I'm not Jewish. I'm not Hindu. I'm not Buddhist. I must be Christian. It's real easy to take the name Christian. We can say, well, I'm an American, ain't I? Christian. But when we take the name, we're saying, I am Christ's. Christian means little Christ. It means I am Christ's. Is you is, or is you ain't His. Jesus says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and yet you don't do what I say? If He's Lord, you obey the Lord. If He's not, why waste your time on the lip service? You see, one of the things that has happened in modern day church life is I think that we have overemphasized belief. All you have to do is believe. We've turned Christianity into a Peter Pan kind of faith. You remember Peter Pan is flying, and the children say, we want to fly too, we want to fly too. How do we fly? Oh, well, just some pixie dust, and then think positive thoughts, and you can fly. And we kind of say, you come into church, here's your pixie dust. Now, if you just believe, it's all good. You know, Jesus never called a person to believe. He called His disciples to follow. There's a difference. He never called them to just believe in Him. He always called them to follow Me. When we take the name Christian, what we're saying is, I am Christ's. I follow Him. He's in charge. And He says, if I'm the master, then why aren't you doing what I tell you? Mike Holmgren is a well-known football player, football coach, football executive, and became the president of one of the major NFL teams. One of the worst times in his life and in his career is when he was cut from the New York Jets as a backup quarterback to Joe Namath. He said, I had committed my life to Jesus Christ when I was 11, but in my pursuit to make a name for myself in football, I left God next to the dust-covered Bible on my shelf. But after getting out from the Jets, I pulled out my Bible, found comfort in a verse I had memorized in Sunday school. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Acknowledge Him in all your ways, and He will make your paths straight. I asked Jesus to take control again. Now, my priorities in life are faith, family, and football, in that order. He learned a lesson that many of us have had to learn and maybe are going through the process of learning now. And That is, when you do things your way, there's a good chance that you're going to get hurt, hurt those around you, and lose the game. But when we do things the way the coach tells us to do them, we learn that we are protected, that we're actually helping those around us, and in the end, we win. Listening to the coach requires us to ask this question: do you serve him or just give him lip service? It requires us to ask another question as well: do you trust him or just believe in him? Again, there's a big difference, isn't there, between trusting and believing. Look at the text here. Starting in verse 47, he says, "Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and acts upon them, I'll show you whom he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid a foundation upon the rock. And when the flood rose, the torrent burst against that house and could not shake it because it had been well built." He says, the people who do three things, the people who come to me, who hear my words, and then actually act upon them, are building their house on a firm foundation. He says, the people who trust me enough to actually do what I teach them to do, they're the ones who are building life on a firm foundation. I recently had a chance to learn how they go about putting down a foundation, pouring a slab for a house. I learned a lot that I didn't know. You know, one of the first things they do is come in and dig up the bad dirt, the dirt that's not going to be what it needs to be for a house. They come and they dig that up. Depending on how much bad dirt there is and where the rock is underneath and what kind of stuff is under the surface, that tells them how deep they got to dig. But they're going to dig up the bad dirt, then they're going to bring in good dirt. Don't you like these technical terms that I use? Good dirt, bad dirt. They take out the bad dirt, they bring in the good dirt. And then they prepare the good dirt. The more bad dirt there is, the deeper they got to dig. Jesus says, the one who comes to me, hears my word, and does those things is like the man who was willing to go through the process of digging deep, taking out the stuff that doesn't need to be there, making some changes, actually living the stuff that Jesus talked about. Digging deep sometimes. And you know, when you dig deep in a human heart, sometimes it hurts. And I think maybe that pain is why most of us are afraid to really let God take control and to really live out what He tells us to do. Jesus says, the one who comes to me, hears my word, and does them is like the guy who's willing to dig deep to make sure that his foundation is sound. Once you dig deep enough, you can lay that solid foundation. And he gives us that foundation. He tells us how to live life. He tells us what our priorities are. He tells us how to please him, how to take care of ourselves, and how to serve those around us. It's all right here. The foundation of how to live. So Jesus says, the one who comes to me, hears the word, and does it, is that guy who has built a solid foundation. In that area, in that time, and really for that purpose, the same thing is fairly true today in that area. There just is not enough vegetation to hold water very much, very long. And so if you get a really strong rain, it just washes through the area. And so it is not foreign to these people to understand when you build a house, you got to build it on a rock. You can't just build it on the topsoil, because when it starts to rain real good, it's going to flood and it's going to wash away your house unless it's on a firm foundation. None of us knows when that flood's coming. April 16 was just another day. We didn't know April 17 was coming. None of us know when the flood's coming. So what do we do? Do we say, let's wait and let's see how life goes. Let's make sure that I don't miss out on anything. Let's see how life goes. And later on down the road, one of these days, I really ought to think about laying that firm foundation and live the way he told me to. And then all of a sudden the flood comes and we're in trouble. Or do we want to say, because I understand the flood might come tonight or tomorrow, I'm going to decide now to build, to start living off that firm foundation. I'm going to decide now he is who he says he is. He's the Lord. And I'm going to start living based on his teachings, so when the flood comes, I'm ready. You got to ask yourself this morning, do you trust him or just believe in him? Is what he says worth building a life on? You see, you just believe in him, like we believe in the tooth fairy or Santa Claus, or we believe in these things. And there's nothing wrong with that, except that Jesus says, I don't want you to stop there. I don't want you just to believe that I exist. I want you to trust me. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Trust. The old illustration that you've heard and seen 100 times is still true. You can trust that the chair will hold you. I mean, you can believe that the chair will hold you, but you haven't trusted in it until you've sat in the chair. You can believe that Jesus is real, but you haven't trusted him until you build his life on what he tells you, until you trust him enough to obey him. UCLA alumni and fans made UCLA football coach Pepper Rogers' life miserable during a season when his Bruins got off to a horrible start. Nobody in Southern California would hang out with him. He said, my dog was my only true friend. I told my wife that every man needs at least 2 good friends. She bought me another dog. Rogers could be tough, though, in the face of that kind of adversity. While his players at UCLA were having a difficult time adapting to the wishbone offense that he had installed, and the school's alumni demanded that he adopt another system, Rogers didn't budge. The wishbone, he said, is like Christianity. He said, if you believe in it only until something goes wrong, you didn't believe in it in the first place. I believe in God, I trust in God, I'm a Christian, until something doesn't go right, until something goes wrong, and then all of a sudden, I say, where are you? I quit. We have to wonder, did we really ever believe to begin with? Did we trust? Because trust says, even when things don't go right, my life is still in your hands. Do you trust him or just believe in him? The third question that comes to mind as we talk about listening to the coach, do you obey him or just listen? the next verse, in verse 49. He contrasts now the two kinds of builders. He says in 49, "But the one who has heard and not acted accordingly is like a man who built a house upon the ground without any foundation. And the torrent burst against it, and immediately it collapsed, and the ruin of that house was great." Two builders, we assume, building basically the same kind of house. One stands strong and the other gets blown away. Why? Difference in foundation. One actually digs deep and lays the correct kind of foundation. He bases his life on God's word, on what Jesus says. The other one says, "I'll do it my way," and he just built his house on the easy way. He just built it on the topsoil, and the rains came, and great was its fall. On what is your house built? On what is your life built? Do you have that firm foundation of living life the way God says to live it? Or did you try to just kind of do it your own way, take the easy way and build it your way? Do you obey Him? Or do you just listen? You see, that's what He said in 49. He who has heard and has not acted accordingly is like the person without a foundation. He listened. He came on Sunday morning and he listened every week. Once in a while, he even went to www.fbcwest.com and he listened a few more times during the week. He even came to Sunday school once in a while. For a short time there, he was even in a small group. He listened. He picked up Swindoll's latest devotional every morning for a little while. He listened. But he didn't build his life on what he was hearing. See, we make a mistake, and it's a common mistake, and it's extremely easy to make. When we hear a Sunday school teacher or a pastor say something we agree with, we say, "Amen." And we think when we say "Amen," that we agree with that, we think that means we're living it. Hearing it, even agreeing with it, is not necessarily living it out. We've got to make that distinction and ask ourselves, do I really obey Him or do I just listen? James 1 says, "But prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves," who fool themselves, they trick themselves, saying, "I like what it sounds like. Because I like what it sounds like, I must be doing it." They delude themselves. James says, don't be like that. Be doers of the word. Go ahead and live out what you learn. Hearing it, reading it, believing it, none of that has gotten us to the point where we need to be. Hearing it, reading it, believing it is just setting the stage for living it. Once we start living it, then we've got that firm foundation and we're ready to become the people God intended us to be. You know, we often hear the truth will set you free. You hear that all over. You hear it on secular TV shows. Everybody said, the truth will set you free. You ought to tell the truth because it'll set you free. You know what? Let's look at it in context and see what that phrase really is talking about. Jesus in John 8, Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed Him, if you continue in My word, then you are truly disciples of Mine, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. The truth will set you free in the context of if you're truly Jesus' disciples, living your life according to His word, that word is what will set you free. free from your own stupid mistakes, free from hurting those around you because you don't know everything you think you know, free from heading down the wrong path and going in a completely different direction than God had planned for you. The truth is found when disciples stay in the Word, live the Word. If you continue in my Word, then you're truly my disciples, and you'll know the truth because you found it in the Word, and that truth will set you free. His Word protects us, it guides us, it teaches us, it encourages us. It's not just a bunch of random rules. It actually helps life make sense. Roger Staubach was, as you know, he led the Cowboys to World Championship in 71. He admitted that his position as a quarterback who didn't call his own signals was very difficult for him. It was a trial for him. See, Coach Landry sent in every play. He told Roger when to pass, when to run. Only in emergency situations could Roger change the play. And if he did that, he better get it right. Even though Roger considered Coach Landry to have what he called a genius mind, when it came to football strategy, Roger's pride said that he should be able to run his own team. After dealing with that for some time later, he said, "I faced up to the issue of obedience. Once I learned to obey, there was harmony, fulfillment, and victory." You know what? The same thing is true for us. When we learn to listen to the coach, there's harmony, fulfillment, and victory. Now, we've talked a lot about this Word, this Bible. We've talked a lot about living this out. How do you do it? 5 steps to apply the Word. Very simple, very quick. First, hear it. Second, read it. Third, memorize it. Fourth, meditate on it. Fifth, live it. And I put those in a different order than some people do. I start by you hear it. Very few people just go find a Bible in a bookstore and pick it up and start reading it. They've all heard somebody mention the Bible. They've all heard somebody teach them a verse. We start by hearing it. And then you read it for yourself. You hear somebody teach it, then you read it. What that does is it starts getting it into your system. Comes in your ears, comes in your eyes. You've heard it, you've read it. And then I put memorize there. Some people put that later. I put memorize right there. If you want this to actually apply to your life, once you have heard it, once you've read it, you start memorizing it, because what that does is it sets it into your mind. It gets it into your head really good. Then you're ready to meditate on it. Think about it. What does this really say? And what happens as you meditate on it is you slowly start moving it from your mind to your heart. And then when you've meditated on it, you've thought about it, you go live it. And you've built a strong foundation. When Ashley was young, she played ball for Rob Hunt. And Ashley had watched enough ball that she had seen the pitcher get a signal from the catcher. And if he didn't like the signal from the catcher, he'd say no, until he got the one he liked. So she got up to bat. Coach gave her a signal to bunt. She looked at Coach. No. Coach didn't like that. She told me later, she said, I knew if I bunted, they'd get me out. Yeah, but there's a runner at first that needs to advance. That's right. Coach had a discussion with the team immediately after that in which he said, you don't ever tell me no. She didn't really mean to tell him no. She was young enough. She thought this was a part of the process. If you don't like a call, you shake it off until you get the one you like. God says, son, daughter, go here. No, I don't think I like that. I'll wait till you give me another one. Son or daughter, go here. No, God, I don't think I like that one. I think I'll just wait till you give me another one and I'll pick the one I like. Son, daughter, you go where you want. And when you're ready to come home, I'll be waiting. Listening to the coach requires us to ask three questions. Do you serve him or just give him lip service? Do you trust him or just believe in him? Do you obey him or just listen to him? Father, we thank you for your love for us. We thank you for your patience. Today we recognize and affirm and proclaim that Jesus is Lord. Father, if there is anything that needs to be removed from our lives, anything that we need to dig out so that we can get it out of the way in order to lay a firm foundation of your word, your plan for us, help us to see what that is that we need to take care of. Father, if we're not really listening and obeying and trusting, help us to be honest enough to see that. Father, we pray now in the power of the Holy Spirit and in the name of Jesus that you would do a work in our minds and in our hearts to make sure that we're right with you. If we need to respond, take a step of obedience, show us what we need to do right now in Jesus' name.